Good evening. We're reading from the book of 2 Kings tonight, chapter 5, starting from verse 1 and reading through to verse 19. Now, Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now, bands of raiders from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. "By all means, go," the king of Aram replied. "I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter that he took to the king of Israel read, "With this letter, I am sending my servant Naaman to you, so that you may cure him of his leprosy." As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and said, "Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of leprosy? See how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message: "Why have you torn your robes? Make the man come to me, and he will know there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to say to him, "Go, wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored and you will be cleansed." But Naaman went away angry and said, "I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed?" So he turned and went off in a rage. Naaman's servants went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, 'Wash and be cleansed'?" So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, as the man of God had told him. And his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. Then Naaman and all his attendants went back to the man of God. He stood before him and said, "Now I know there is no God in all the world except in Israel. So please accept a gift from your servant." The prophet answered, "As surely as the Lord lives, whom I serve, I will not accept a thing." And even though Naaman urged him, he refused. "If you will not," said Naaman, "please let me, your servant, be given as much earth as a pair of mules can carry. For your servant will never again make burnt offerings and sacrifices to any other god but the Lord. May the Lord forgive your servant for this one thing. When my master enters the temple of Rimmon to bow down, and he is leaning on my arm, and I have to bow there also, when I bow down in the temple of Rimmon, may the Lord forgive your servant for this." "Go in peace," Elisha said.
Thank you, Nikki. He was a 5-star general. Says he was valiant in battle. He'd won great victories. He'd been promoted to the point that his king saw him as a great man. And then he had leprosy. It's almost like you get this great introduction to Naaman in the story that Nikki read. And then there's this but. It's like, he's a great general, great man. But he had leprosy. In those days, leprosy was horrible. And just as today, it could lead you to being disfigured and maimed and not pretty to look at anymore. But also it alienated you. Because people were frightened of catching it, it meant that you had to be kept away from everybody else. So that's where Naaman was. Great general, great man. And then his problem with leprosy But there's a servant girl who's a Jewish servant girl, been taken into their household. And she says, if you go and ask the prophet in Israel, his name's Elisha, then he may be able to do something for you. So with this great kind of entourage, the king sends a letter to the king of Israel, and he gives gifts to Naaman to give to the king so that they could move along. And the king's in Israel, he's just like kind of torn up by it, because he thinks he's trying to pick a fight with me. I can't heal. Am I God? I can't bring the dead back to life. I can't cure leprosy. And then one of the servants says, or Elisha hears about it and says to his servant, go and tell the king. Tell the king to send him to me. So Naaman goes to Elisha. Elisha was a great prophet. Two or three chapters before, you've read story after story after story of Elisha working in the power of God and seeing amazing things happen. And when Naaman gets to the door with all his entourage and all his gifts and everything, Elisha tells to his servant, just go and tell him to wash in the Jordan 7 times, that'll do. Almost nonchalantly, you know. Naaman's fuming, because he's important. Naaman's fuming because he's brought all these gifts and everything, and he's not going to wash in the dirty Jordan. I swam all my childhood in a river called the River Wire, downstream of the sewage works. I'm alive to tell the tale. But he wasn't going to wash in the dirty Jordan when he had clean rivers back at home. Till finally another servant, a third servant, 3 servants, finally bring Naaman to a place of humility. And he washes and dips himself 7 times in the Jordan. And he's not just healed. He's changed. He's converted to God. A couple of little clues. First of all, he says to Elisha, can I take some soil from this place? Why does he want to do that? Because he wants to kneel on the soil of the land of God when he prays. He says to Elisha, when I get back, my king, who I serve, is going to take my hand and he wants to go and worship in his temple. I don't want to do that anymore, but to serve my king, I have to. When I do that, will God forgive me? And Elisha says, go in peace. But he's transformed, converted to the God of Israel. But what did it take? Here's a man who, first of all, we read and discover that he is a man who's full of pride. I mean, rightly so in some respects. He says he's valiant. So he's not just a 5-star general who sends people out to war. This guy has won his spurs. He's fought in fights. He's won battles. He's valiant. And that has led him to the promotion that he's at the king's right-hand side. But that's given him an amazing amount of pride. So much so that when he's told to dip in the dirty Jordan 7 times, he's in a rage. This is below me. I'm not going to do this. Not just is he full of pride, he's also, well, we just read, he's angry. He's petulant about it. How dare they tell me to do this humiliating thing? He's also ignorant. How do we know that? Because he and his king send gifts to Israel. And he wants to give gifts to the king of Israel and gifts to Elisha because he thinks he can buy healing. He thinks that by giving gifts, because that's what you do with their gods back in Aram. You go and you give gifts to the gods and maybe that will get you healing. He thinks, well, what we do is we need to put God's arm up his back and buy healing. So when I say he's ignorant, I'm not being nasty. I'm just saying he doesn't know that this God is a God of love and a God of grace. And this God, in his grace, can choose to touch his life as a demonstration of his love. He doesn't know about a God like that. He thinks God is the kind of God that you can buy. So sadly, he's ignorant. And then there's just one other thing, is that he's obstinate. Well, of course he's obstinate. He's a bloke. It just goes with the territory, doesn't it? It's just he's a proud, self-made, fighting man's man. And Those are the obstinate guys who don't need God, who don't need to be told what to do, because they can do it their way. So he's obstinate, proud, angry, petulant. And all those things have the terrifying potential of actually keeping him from God. Till the third servant says to him, "Look, mate, look, master." Probably you couldn't call him mate, he would get into trouble for that. He said, "Look, master." He says, "If he'd have told you to do some grand gesture, you would have been pleased to do that." And yeah, you can feel Naaman almost going, "Yeah, of course I would. I would have been pleased to do that." He said, "Well, this isn't a grand gesture. But if you just do this humble gesture, then maybe this prophet of God is right. Maybe he's the one who will turn your life around and that will bring you healing just by being obedient to this dipping into the dirty Jordan 7 times. In a further part, deeper back into the Old Testament, a book called Leviticus, it talks about leprosy and skin disease. And the person who weighed up how bad the skin disease was the local priest. And he would look at your disease and he would check it over days and weeks and he would decide whether you had leprosy or not. If you had leprosy, then you had to be alienated. You had to be sent out of the community. But equally, he was the one who could pronounce that you were clean. And that day, after the 7th time in the Jordan, Naaman comes up and he's clean. He's pronounced clean. And that totally transforms him to God. You know, one of the greatest dangers we've got in this life is that we think we know everything. We think we know so much because science teaches us so much about how the world was made, how we were formed, and biology and medicine tells about how we can be cured, and we know all this stuff about physics and computers and everything. And we just think we're so damned clever. And that arrogance is damned because it's keeping us from God. We think we don't need him. And I don't know whether tonight, especially if you're a bloke, whether your pride is actually keeping you from God or not. I kind of plead with you. This humility that Naaman, this humble place Naaman had to come to, every single one of us needs to come to. Come to a place where we let go of that pride and that ignorance that says, "Well, we know everything." We can't know everything. I love the atheists. They're great because they do know everything. They know there is no God. I love the humility of the guys and the ladies who say, "We can't know everything." So at least they're humble enough to say, "Maybe if we can't know everything, there is a God." And maybe tonight you need to be humble enough to take that place and see that this "there is a God" is very, very interested in you. Maybe you're in a place where you think, "Well, I do believe in God, but I want to buy him. I want him on my terms. I don't want him to tell me what to be doing. I want to tell him what to do for me." Naaman had to come to a place where this proud, valiant, great 5-star general washed 7 times in the dirty Jordan. And he had to let go of telling God what he had to do for him. And in that act, then God could step into his life. And maybe some of us are in that place tonight where we need to say to God, "Sorry, I don't get this life, I don't understand everything, but I'm done with telling you what you need to do to make this world work. I'm done with telling you how to understand it my way. I'm done with telling you how to do it my way, and I'm just going to put my humble trust in you." So maybe we're not a 5-star general. Maybe we've never risen to the ranks that we are the Queen's courtiers tonight. But maybe some of the things that are there in Naaman, the arrogance and the pride, the ignorance and the anger, maybe they're in us. And maybe tonight's a night where we have to humbly let them go. There's a beautiful story told in the New Testament part of the Bible. One of the gospel, the good news stories, where Jesus meets 10 lepers. They've formed a troop, if you will, troop of alienated guys. And they're out away from the town because they're not allowed near the town. They have to ring a bell to let you know that they're there so that you don't get too near to them. But Jesus gets near and they say, "Will you heal us?" And he says, yes, go. Just go and show yourself to the priest because he's the one who can pronounce you clean. But on the way to the priest, they found that this great priest called Jesus has already proclaimed them clean because they're healed. Quite a few times tonight, the people who were baptized have talked about the fact that they came to a place where they knew they were sinners. That beautiful little prayer that Ken prayed, "Lord, forgive me for my sin." You know, Naaman's healing is a picture of that cleaning, that Jesus, who when he died on the cross, took everything that alienates me from God, that the leprosy of my sin, so that I could be clean from that. And if I was humble enough to ask him, he would forgive me and he would pronounce me clean, just like those 10 lepers. After he was healed, Naaman was thankful. So thankful he wanted to give Elisha a gift. That Elisha said, "It's not about giving a gift. It's free for you, Naaman. Enjoy it. Take it away. Enjoy that new life that you've got in God now." The story goes further on, but we're not going to go there tonight. One of the lepers that Jesus healed came back. And it turned out he was not a Jew. He was a foreigner. And he came back and he threw himself at Jesus' feet and he was so full of gratitude. Just like Naaman when he wanted to give a gift back to Elisha. And I guarantee this, that what you've seen in Helen and Ken and John tonight, just the incredible gratitude that somehow, by coming to this place, it became part of their journey to Jesus. And all they do is, they just want to rejoice in that and share that and thank God for it. That if you were humble enough to let your pride go, to let your ignorance go, maybe even your anger with God go, if you were humble enough to do that, he'll change your life like he did for those 10 lepers with Jesus. He'll change your life like he did for those, for Naaman. He'll change your life like he has done for Helen and Ken and John and Sue and Ian and me who are in the water with them tonight. But whatever you do, don't hang on to your damned arrogance or your damned ignorance or your damned anger. Because the sad thing about those things is they will damn you. Be humble enough to let them go and discover God in his Son, Jesus. Let's pray together. In the quietness of praying, there's going to be a prayer up on the screen that if you've never prayed a prayer before, that is a prayer that really is a first step, if you will. Being born again is about a baby step towards Jesus Christ. Just in the quietness, if you know tonight you've got to let go of some of those things that I've mentioned that we can see in Naaman, but we know may also be in us. If this is a night to let go of those things, then just quietly in your own heart, pray that prayer as a first step, if you will, a baby step towards Christ. Just read it quietly and pray it for yourself. And if, like Helen or Ken or John, you prayed that prayer as they did some months ago, then that's a first step, but the next best step you can take is to tell somebody. God's word says if that you believe in your heart God raised Jesus from the dead and confess with your mouth, you are saved. And so we'd love you to tell somebody. It'd be great if you told Pastor Ian or Sue or myself, or somebody else, maybe somebody in the prayer team, people wearing purple lanyards, another Christian. We'd love to give you a Bible. John said we do give free Bibles away, but this is the second step. It's not just a free Bible. If you've prayed that prayer as a first step, the second step is come and tell us. And we'd love to pray with you and give you a Bible that helps you begin and a little booklet that helps you take steps as a new Christian. But if that's you tonight, then come and grab hold of one of us. And we'd love to share, get to know you, pray with you, but also just welcome you and give you a gift. God bless you. Let's stand. Let's worship him.